This is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program is the River of Life. The only hope for this fear-filled world is found in the promises of God. I wish to read a text of Scripture. It is found in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And it reads, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Some of us would like to know what this text really means. But first I want to tell our listeners that this program comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups and the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Add the expressions "river of water of life" and "the throne of God and of the Lamb" and "the tree of life." Can all these be understood?
Yes, Russell, easily understood. We merely need remember that this is picture language. God does not sit upon a literal throne, nor is the river of life, or the river of water of life, a literal river. The book of Revelation, you know, is largely a book of symbols.
In that case, then, what is pictured by the throne of God? Is this a literal, or is it a symbolic throne?
It is a symbol of only one thing, and that is rulership. It is God's throne, hence a symbol of divine rulership.
The throne of God, then, is the kingdom of God?
That's right. And Russell, this divine government, or kingdom, is one of the most talked about subjects in the entire Bible. Promises pertaining to it appear very early in the Old Testament, and they continue like a golden thread throughout all the prophecies through the teachings of Jesus and the apostolic writings.
And is this the same kingdom which we ask for in our Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven"?
Yes, and that's another example of how prominent the kingdom theme is made in the Bible. For by Jesus' authority, it was made one of the main themes of true Christian prayer.
But here is my problem, Ed. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." Will the throne of God be in the earth?
In the previous chapter, we are given another symbolic picture of the same kingdom reign, and in it God is represented as dwelling with men. Now, this doesn't mean that God literally dwells on the earth, but suggests the thought of his favor and blessing flowing out to mankind through the agencies of Christ's kingdom. The idea of divine rulership over the earth is represented in the 20th chapter of Revelation by a great white throne.
A white throne. Has the color any particular significance?
It has. White is used in the Scriptures as a symbol of purity, of righteousness. Thus the Lord emphasizes that his rulership over the people be one of righteousness.
Well, that is a refreshing thought, I admit. In view of the corruption in government which has been brought to light during recent years. But I don't suppose there has ever been a government in the earth that has been entirely pure or white.
That's true enough, Russell. Hence we should be enthusiastic in praying for the Lord's kingdom.
Let's get back to our text. It says that the river of life flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Is this also the throne of the Lamb as well as the throne of God?
Well, the Lamb's symbolism is one that is also found in many places in the Bible. The Lamb is in reality Christ, this being one of the many titles given to him in the Bible.
Isn't a Lamb usually associated with the thought of sacrifice?
That's right. And in the fifth chapter of Revelation, Christ the Lamb is represented as a slain lamb. The thought is that he was slain for the sins of the world.
But, Ed, why should the river of life be represented as flowing out from the throne of this Lamb?
Now, really, there's a wonderful lesson in that, Russell. It's the Lord's way of telling us that the blessings of life pictured by the river will be available to the people, not alone because a divine government will be set up in the earth, but also because these life-giving blessings had previously been provided through the death of the Redeemer or the blood of the slain Lamb.
Which means, I take it, that two things will be required in order for anyone to attain everlasting life during the thousand-year reign of Christ in the church. The acceptance of Christ as Redeemer and Savior, and obedience to the laws of that righteous government. But so far, we have been discussing the symbolism of the throne, and it certainly is a picture of divine rulership in the earth, and I like that, your thought. But what about the river?
Well, the river of life is a symbolism of the life-giving blessings of the kingdom of Christ. The theme of restoration runs throughout the entire Bible. Peter describes it as the restitution of all things. And you know, God's plan for restoring man to life on the earth during the thousand-year reign is in reality the world's only hope.
Well, the people will surely appreciate some reconstruction work after so many years of chaos and war and air pollution and all of those things. And personally, I like the prospect.
We all feel that way about it, Russell. And as the book God and Reason points out, the fulfillment of so many prophecies as seen in the fast-moving events of our time proves beyond a doubt that Christ's kingdom is very near. Yes, that wonderful river of life will soon begin to flow.
Then the river of life is symbolic of the life-giving blessings which will be made available to all the people during the reign of Christ. Is
that
right?
That's right.
And I notice, Ed, that the leaves on the tree of life are said to be for the healing of the nations.
Well, the nations will certainly need healing in so many ways. The kingdom of Christ is the only cure for drug abuse and, oh, so many other things.
Does it actually say that in the last chapter of the Bible?
It does indeed. And in that text you read, the promise is that there shall be no more curse. This is in contrast to the Genesis record, where we are told of the curse that came upon the earth, from which the human race has suffered ever since. So you see, when we look at the complete picture, it certainly does give us assurance of God's purpose to undo the results of that terrible tragedy of disobedience which occurred in Eden, and to restore man to perfect life and health.
Ed, you have a gift book to offer our readers, have you not?
Yes, and a copy will be sent free to anyone who requests it. Russell, you've read God and Reason. Would you like to tell our friends about it?
That will be a pleasure, Ed, for I can truthfully say that the book God and Reason makes reasonable many things concerning the Bible and its teachings which may have seemed unreasonable. And friends, you are invited to send for God and reason. Here are some of the subjects presented in a reasonable and understandable manner. The Genesis account of creation, the story of the Garden of Eden and man's fall into sin and death. There has been much misunderstanding on this subject, and you will enjoy reading the simple and reasonable facts. God and Reason discusses many topics and shows their relationship to the overall plan of God. All over the world today, people are filled with fear as they look ahead to what may be coming upon the earth as a result of man's selfishness. Is there a way out of this catastrophe? Will God do anything about it? The Bible answers yes, and God and Reason shows how God's promises prove it. So, send for God and Reason today. Just address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again: Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for God and Reason, and it will be sent to you free by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN. To receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.